Perfect. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 49, titled Sleepless in Seattle. And boy, a lot of interesting things have happened, and we're sorry we're running a little behind, but we're getting it figured out, and we're good to go. I'm Logan Loganity Morse from high atop the Loganity Lounge, and luckily, I don't do this thing alone. Let's bring in the producer that does, you know, she keeps a good eye on me, and she puts the produce in producer, as far as I'm concerned. Peggy Lore, Ryan Blaney's biggest fan, come on in here. How are you?
I think you meant sleepless in Sonoma.
What did I say?
You said sleepless in Seattle.
See, there we go. See, that's boom. Yeah, look, a lot happened. Yes, yes, it is sleepless in Sonoma. And I need some sleep, clearly. Anywho, producer Peggy, before we bring on our special guest, how are you?
I am okay. I have a lot of thoughts about some things. I'll get into it later.
Later.
But I'm angry. And I have a random Matt Kenseth car.
Nice.
Today.
Nice.
And as usual, I support the one and only.
I hear you. Well, let's bring in another Penske pal. We got a comment from our pal AJ. Good to see you. Good to have you. Good to just be with you. Anywho, let's bring in our Penske pal for the evening. Look, there is not a bigger Joey Logano fan on this planet. Now, that there's only about four of them, to my understanding, and this is without a doubt the loudest and the proudest. Let's bring him in. The king of the hill, the Buckeye bro himself, Rye, the sports guy, Ryan Hill. Come on in here.
Hey.
Ryan.
What's going on, guys? I've been in the comment sections for a while, and now I finally got the invite to come and join and wreak havoc here with you.
Ryan, welcome to your Racing Refresh debut. Racing Refresh Happy Hour debut. Racing Refresh Anything debut. How are you?
You know, your title to the show, Sleepless in Sonoma, that is definitely right. I had very high hopes going into this weekend. I talked to our buddy Luke Kaczynski on the side going into this weekend.
Luke
and I was like, man, I don't know what it is about this weekend, but I'm really pumped. Like, it's a road course, and for me to be pumped, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then qualifying happened, and then we'll get into the race. But I'm back to being sleepless and depressed. But, you know, it's been a struggle this year. That's why my background here is trying to remember the 22-22 season. We're a couple years out of that now, but I'm doing all right. I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys for having me tonight.
For the good times, as they say. Freddie says he's on the waiting list, too. Freddie, never say never, my boy. Thank you for always commenting and being a loyal supporter. AJ, it is Ryan, in the flesh, the real thing. You know, nothing but, 200 pounds of steel and nothing but sex appeal. Yes, sir. There he is, Ryan Hill, the real thing, baby, the real thing.
I'm here finally.
All righty, so let's break it down. What do you say we do it, Peggy? It's time for our weekend review. All right, Ryan, just the two of us, and we can make it if we try. All right, in the Cup Series, Kyle Larson won a wild one in Sonoma. It was, I guess, kind of tame for the last 20%. But in the next-gen era, road courses have been a little mundane, let's say. Much more strategy-based and fuel mileage-based. This was not one of those. They have the brand-new repave, Ryan, and wreaked havoc, but Kyle Larson got it done. Give me some overarching thoughts before we get into the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, this was definitely it was a mess of a race to start off for sure. I've never seen so many cautions at a road course. It's usually, you know, someone spins out and we just keep on going, but they just were not doing so in the first couple stages. Like you said, it was caution filled to start the race, and then they kind of got it all figured out by the time stage three rolled around. But I know we're finally back into the new year. Last year we went without stage breaks at the end of stages for road courses last year, and we both chatted outside of everything that we kind of missed it. I've always been a big fan of the stage breaks. I like hitting the reset button. I know I'm one of like very few that actually enjoy the stage racing and the stage breaks. And I truly missed it last year at the road courses. So having that back has been nice this season. And yeah, Kyle Larson, like you said, he came in there and stole the show. I messaged you yesterday saying, I kind of just hope Kyle Larson wins this race in the end, because Logano personally needs someone that has already won to just win. So someone right there at that bubble doesn't do it. But Sonoma was interesting with the repave, and Kyle Larson comes in there and steals the show in the end.
Yeah, look, he's become kind of the road course king of the next gen era. For a long time, it was Chase Elliott in the previous car. He was racking up road course wins to the thought that he was definitely going to catch Jeff Gordon, and now not so much. Look, what'd you think of the issues for? It's rare these days we see a blown motor in NASCAR. Denny Hamlin blows a motor on like lap three. What'd you think?
Couldn't have happened to a better guy. But no, I was shocked, because in this next gen era, you know, you really don't see this happening. But Joe Gibbs Racing the past couple weeks have kind of had some sort of issue, whether that is Christopher Bell. You know, he was battling for the win last week with Ryan Blaney, and then he had an issue and dropped the cylinder and had to basically get help from Martin Truex Jr. and to get around the last 20 or 30 laps there. And then this week, I mean, he said he had no signs of it happening. So, I mean, is this a JGR issue? Are they trying something in the regular season to try and see if it'll work, and it's not working right now? I don't know. I haven't heard back or read anything that they have found out what caused the issue yesterday. If they did say that, I missed it. But I don't know. It's very weird that it's just JGR cars right now, because it's not any other Toyotas. And we haven't seen a blown engine in quite some time. So I know I was happy, because I'm not a Denny Hamlin guy.
See, now that's a point I hadn't really thought about. You're right. Christopher Bell did drop a cylinder last week, and so I hadn't really thought about that. I'll tell you, this Ryan, the sports guy, man, that is absolutely...
It could be. There could be something going on at JGR.
AJ says, Denny Hamlin just needed a good old pastor reset. Had to have to cost him at least $500. I'll bet it cost him more than that with that brand new... You know, that's an engine right there, buddy, but... Don't you hate when you end up getting, you know.
That was a full-blown blowout, too. I mean, he had smoke coming everywhere.
I mean, honestly, what a catfish. I mean, you think about it. He's sitting pretty. You know, he's got the points lead. Kyle Larson has chose IndyCar, and then next thing you know, you're blowing motors on lap three.
At a track that we know Denny Hamlin to be very successful at.
Yeah,
he already started in the back, which was odd for Denny Hamlin, but then to blow up that early in the race.
Yeah, it was 2 to 3 laps in. There was another fuel fiasco. Martin Truex runs out of gas last lap, and it was all he could do. He made it there on wishes and prayers to finish the race. What's going on there that happened to Ryan Blaney, one of your Penske pals last week, where they come up a lap short? And then this week, MTJ, it would have been funny if it wasn't so sad. I mean, he didn't look like he was going to win. He looked like he had a nice second to third place car. And then he ends up finishing what, I think 27th. So, yeah, so that was pretty perplexing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I saw like the interval on the side, and I know it's really tough to follow those intervals on the side on like road courses, how much they fluctuate with how the turns and everything are, and it kind of messes it up. But I saw it like just he was about a second to 2 seconds off of Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson got by him and drove away, but then like that last lap, it just got faster and faster, got further and further away, and then he started losing spots, and I was like, he really is out of fuel. And I think I don't put too much stock into that as much as maybe what happened with Ryan Blaney last week, because this is road course racing at its finest. One thing we've always loved about road course racing and stage breaks kind of ruined was taking that element out of road course racing where cars are trying to figure out how far can I test this fuel run. And we actually got it yesterday. So, I mean, we finally got a fuel mileage gig going on there. I was shocked when they actually started pitting with on lap like 68. I know that it was technically like fuel window, but I thought we'd see some of those guys push to lap like 70, 72, somewhere in that ballpark. But for them to come down early, and I guess with the way cautions were falling yesterday, it kind of forced people, drivers' hands and crews' hands, to want to come down a little earlier, because you did not want to have to come down under yellow. You wanted to get that pit stop under green.
Absolutely. I'm like you. I thought, man, push it. I was telling Peyton last night. I'm like, or yesterday. I'm like, Eric Jones, just keep going. Just run that baby until it's almost out. Hope for a caution. AJ asked, are we glad they're sticking with the 2000s layout still? No carousel seems to be working. Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty happy with it. I'm happy with the repave. I thought this was, do I want a caution field road course? No, but I liked that it clearly changed the strategy. I liked that it clearly made this car harder to drive, which is something we've been talking about at length over the last few years in NASCAR. We want the cars harder to drive and things to happen. I'm happy with the repave. I'm happy with the layout. What say you, Ryan? Are you glad they don't use the carousel anymore? And what'd you think of the repave?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's not something I even really paid too much attention to yesterday, honestly. I thought the racing was really good all around. I mean, I kind of wish that there was maybe like another passing zone somewhere on the track, so maybe that would have been helpful. But I think the layout was good. I think we, like I said, we had really good racing yesterday, and the repave was pretty nice too. I mean, I think everything worked out for Sonoma. I know I'm not a big road course fan. I've made that known very well that road courses aren't my thing, but Sonoma, Watkins Glen, and then I've grown accustomed to the Roval. So those are my three that I'm okay with. But yeah, I think the repave did this track very well. I'm with you. Cautions at a road course, they make things interesting because they bunch the field back up, but man, they can drag out with how long. It already takes them over a minute and 13 seconds to get around, minute 15 seconds to get around at full speed. Then you slow them down under caution, and it can drag the race out. And I feel like stage one and stage two really got drug out due to the caution. So it definitely made the racing more fun, but with all the cautions in it, it really slowed the pace down yesterday.
Yeah, it turned into Calamity Corner. It was absolute madness. Like I said, there's a fine line, right, between madness that's like, oh, this is entertaining, to madness that goes, this is ridiculous. What are we doing? Because, I mean, there was a couple of laps that where it's like we were going two green flag laps.
We celebrated making it two laps around the track yesterday, and we're like, all right, we did it. We've survived two. Are we good now?
Yeah, it was like playing NASCAR Heat on the current server. Sorry, Motorsports game, but it's lag city, bro.
Caution at like a Sonoma, the laps, you don't really lose too many laps because of how big the track is, and it makes it longer. But then you think about like Bristol and Martinsville, where like a caution, and next thing you know, one caution could cost you like 5, 6, 7 laps, depending on how the wreck is or what the caution is for, because of how quick they can get around that track even under caution. So yeah, there we go. RIP NASCAR Heat. Yes, please.
we're looking forward to the next game.
Yes, we are.
We're looking forward to the next iRacing. That's going to be cool. Final questions on Sonoma.
Martin Truex wasn't the only one to run out of fuel yesterday.
Do tell.
Kyle Busch also ran out of fuel after getting dumped.
That's right. Kyle Busch did get dumped and run out of fuel. Another guy that couldn't happen. Shouldn't happen to really.
He was able to get around a lot better than Truex does. So he definitely was able to run out a little later in that final lap. But we had a couple people run out of fuel there.
Truex was praying to God by the last turn.
Yeah, he was. I didn't think he was going to make it. Honestly, I did not.
And we're going to talk more about Truex a little bit later on the show. But I want a few final thoughts on Sonoma, the Cup Series. Right. Anybody stuck out to you that we haven't talked about? Was there a performance that? Let's talk a little bit about Joey Logano before we move on. Of course, Penske has found a little speed these last few weeks. He was on the pole. He and Paul Wolf kind of pitted at an odd time, and it bit him. And I know that you were pretty perturbed about it. But in their defense, who thought a road course would play out this way? What were your thoughts on their strategy? And are you, even though it didn't go your way, are you finding some reasons for optimism?
I mean, when I look at it, Logano getting the pole was shocking. Because road courses usually are a race where we see Logano play the opposite strategy of the leaders, where he goes for like stage points and he doesn't actually race to win. So as much as the strategy bit us yesterday with Paul Wolf pitting, we were a sitting duck there. If Paul Wolf keeps Logano out, second on back follows down pit road and everyone pits. And now you got Logano and maybe a couple other drivers who don't pit, and now they're on a different strategy. Logano pits like he did, and now no one follows suit. So now you're stuck mirrored in the middle of the pack to the back of the pack. And it was a big catch 22, pun intended there, you know. But it was not going to work in Logano's favor yesterday with how the strategy was going to fall with those cautions. This was one time when I wasn't wanting these cautions because the race kind of probably would have played a little bit more into his favor. And that's just what happens when you get stuck back in traffic. When I saw the 14 of Chase Briscoe being spun out, I was like, I know Logano's in this somewhere. But I didn't see him on the track until he went to pit road, and I was like, yep, there it is. It was just Paul Wolf was just stuck in a corner yesterday in that spot. Like, I was very upset and mad in the moment. But once I, like, take a step back after the race and was like, man, what would I have done if I was Paul? It was probably the right call. It just didn't work out with the way things fell yesterday and how maddening the first couple stages were there. So luck has not been on the 22 side this season. That's pretty obvious. They haven't had the speed really. And when they do have the speed at like Daytona, Atlanta and Talladega and all that stuff, they've been caught up in calamity. So it's like something has always been in Logano's way this year, but there is optimism with speed coming into the 22 car. It's just now you got to take that speed and get it into results. So we'll see.
A little optimism for Ryan Hill. That's almost as rare as Middle East peace. So, right. So
if we would have did this last night, there would have been no optimism whatsoever. I'm telling you.
After the podcast at 8 hours after the race, you'd have been, this is miserable. This season sucks.
You would have seen Eeyore.
Yeah. Right. Well, because you text me and you're like, we're not making the playoffs this year. We're not.
I still probably stand by that. I think the only way Logano gets in is if he gets a win. I don't see him pointing himself in at this point. I know he's still very close.
Yeah.
He's not far off of that, but there's guys down that I'm looking at that had good finishes yesterday. Michael McDowell stands out. Second place finish. I mean, he could easily win one of these road courses coming up before the end of it. Absolutely. He runs well at like super speedways too, and Atlanta's on there and Daytona's on there. So it's like there's races right there where McDowell could jump Logano. We saw Cindric week before do it. So,
well, Freddie Banister's got good news for you, Ryan. Freddie Banister's got good news for you. He said, calling it now, Joey wins at Iowa. Does make sense. It makes some sense. He does have a knack to. When they have something new, he's usually up there, and this is new, and we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, let's talk a little Xfinity Series. SVG went back to back. We were together for his Xfinity win in Portland. We weren't watching the race. We had obligations with our buddy Travis Knapper.
We were like watching from afar.
Yeah. Well, we watched the last five laps on your phone together, like pals. It was wonderful. It was bonding. I mean, we were going to sing Pat Benatar after. It was wonderful. I'm looking forward to that next karaoke night. So SVG got it done on a NASCAR traditional road course. Without it, it wasn't the street course. Portland's kind of an outlier. This is Sonoma. This is one of the bread and butter, tried and true road courses of NASCAR. So I'm going to ask you the same question I think I asked you on the way back last weekend. And it's does this change how you view SVG at all in terms of being a contender? Because there's enough road courses on the schedule, if he's the next kind of road course savant, that he could kind of, you know, nickel and dime his way into several rounds in the playoffs because there's enough road courses on the schedule. So does this change your opinion of what kind of contender he could be in the Xfinity Series championship chase?
I don't see like a Final Four appearance in his future. Not right now, but I do believe that, like you said, there's enough road courses on the schedule that he can nickel and dime some playoff points up. I mean, he's sitting pretty right now, getting a nice little stacked up there with these road courses, and there's still another one on here before their playoffs start. So I mean, he's got at least another chance to, well, they're doing what, Chicago and then the Glen, right? Potentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's another two races right there, and we've seen him already win in the Cup Series side at Chicago. So I think that we could definitely see SVG, you know, make a run deep into the playoffs. I mean, I think he's going to have to find some more solid, more consistency on the ovals when it comes to the playoff time. But I think, you know, it's not unlikely to see him make a push. I think he's earning enough playoff points at this time right now to make a run into the playoffs. So,
and keep in mind, he's one of those guys that obviously right now he's technically driving for Colic Racing, but he's a Trackhouse product. I mean, it's even like all on the side of all his Colic shirts. Like, he's a Trackhouse guy. And there's a log jam at Trackhouse with all the people they got coming and going and thinking about coming and thinking about going. Zane Smith is supposed to go over there next year, because remember, he's losing that 71 car. Michael McDowell is going there for Spire Motorsports next season. How close are we to seeing SVG full-time in the Cup Series in your estimation?
There's a lot that's going to play into this. So, I mean, it's not like it couldn't be sooner rather than later, but I think he's still at least another year or so out from that. I know, like, he's going to make his living right here off of road courses. I mean, he's already came in and made a name for himself in the Cup Series with that first win at the Chicago Street Course. So I think we're going to start seeing him take on a couple more races per season, and if they get the results they want, I think we could see him up there, maybe not next season, but the year after potentially.
We want to know what you think. Freddie, let us know in the comments. AJ, let us know in the comments. Ryan Hillsburner, let us know in the comments. What do you think about SVG? When's he coming to the Cup Series? Is he ready for that full-time Trackhouse ride? Is he a long way away? Let us know in the comments. Let us know what you think. We'll try to get to him as best we can. All right, finally on the Xfinity Series, before we move on, SVG and Austin Hill had another tango. Austin Hill is not making tons of friends. Austin Hill's not making tons of friends. What'd you make of that kerfluffle, that brouhaha, that Donnybrook, that tiff, if you will? What'd you make of it?
I think it's exactly what the Xfinity Series needs. They need a little rivalry, and right here it seems like you might have the SVG and Austin Hill little rivalry going on. It might just be strictly to road courses, because that's where they've had both their little tangles up here. But, you know, like SVG said, he took a win from me and I took a win from him. I think we're even. I think, you know, this could be something that plays out more into like when we get to the Charlotte Roval when it comes to playoff time. So it's definitely something that I think the Xfinity side needed. Like I said, a nice little rivalry that's going to develop. But I just think right now, Austin Hill, he just doesn't seem like he's having fun. He seems miserable week to week. He seems like me after watching a Cup Series race on Sunday after Logano gets wrecked out or something. So I don't know what's going on with him right now, but he got accustomed to winning in the beginning of the season, kind of hitting a little slump for his standards.
And Austin Hill is another that, I mean, I know he signed a multi-year deal to stay in the Xfinity Series with RCR, but RCR might be could potentially get one of the charters that the fire sale at Stuart Haas is happening. You know, they flirted with a third car a couple times, had a third car this weekend in Will Brown. So Austin Hill might be a future Cup driver before too long as well. Theoretically, Austin Dillon's numbers would suggest that you should look at that, but we know that's a different situation. But still,
he shouldn't be in that car anymore. He's going to be in that car until he doesn't want to be in that car.
I would think so too, but also at the same time, we know that RC is a major competitor. I mean, he was ready to bust his whole thigh off with Ricky Stenhouse. Right. But so at some point, I don't know if that seat gets warm enough for even RC to go, look, it's been wonderful. It's been great. We'll take you down to the Xfinity Series. You can run for championships there. Because theoretically, I think Austin Dillon's sitting 30th in standings right now. Yeah. And keep in mind, that's behind people like Eric Jones, who's missed two races. I don't know. I don't know how much longer you keep that going, but we'll see.
He's 31st right now in the standings.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. Let's just be honest.
That's rough. I mean, he's behind the likes of Corey LaJoie, Daniel Hemric, who hasn't been having a good season. Mm-hmm. Nothing against your boys, but John Hunter Nemechek's right there ahead of him too. And he's having a struggle in his first year here. So there's guys he's behind.
And he's behind Jones, who missed the two races with the back issue. I don't know how much longer you do that, but. And Austin Hill wins enough that it's worth talking about. And so, but we'll see if that ever comes to pass. SVG will drive for Trackhouse in the 91 in the Cup car full time, says Freddie. You thinking next year, Freddie? You thinking they're going to pull that trigger quick? Let us know in the comments below. And because we're all wrestling fans here. AJ's a wrestling fan. Freddie's a wrestling fan. Ryan, you and I are. Yeah. We're marks and damn proud of it.
Yeah, we are.
And so usually when you're 1v1 in the wrestling world, that means at some point you gotta get a tiebreaker. So I don't know if this SVG Austin Hill Tango is over, but that's just
better time than the Charlotte Roval when the playoffs start.
So we'll see what happens, but when it's 1v1 in the wrestling world, usually it means
gotta have the rubber match.
Yeah, we gotta do it one more time sometime down the line. All right, Willpower won at Road America. Max Verstappen kind of lucked his way into Montreal. You know, he was sitting third for a while.
Quick shout out to Willpower, though, because that was a Penske straight 1-2-3 podium.
Oh, boy. Anything else you'd like to say about that?
I'm just saying, if we take the results from IndyCar and flip it to the Cup Series, we're sitting pretty right now. But for some reason, we can't get it right in the Cup, but in IndyCar.
Well, trust me when I tell you, Roger Penske is working night and day. Well, I should say harassing people to work night and day to figure that out, because he is an ultimate competitor. In the NHRA, they were in Bristol, Tennessee. That's right. It's Bristol, baby. They were at the Thunder Valley Supergrip Nationals. Matthew Sattman won the dragster, and Tony Schumacher got his first win in about 37 races. He won Top Fuel. Austin Prock of John Force Racing won a Funny Car. And Jag Coughlin Jr. won the Pro Stock. So good to see John Force Racing celebrating back-to-back, because John Force got his 157th Wally last week in New Hampshire. So that's so good for John Force Racing, good for the founder, AJ England, and good for America, damn it. All right, so with that, let's keep moving right along. It's time for our Peggy Hit the Button Happy Hour headlines. Oh, look at that neon. Look at that neon right there. Beautiful. You like that graphic then, Ryan?
I did. It was nice.
All right. Freddie says, pull that comment up. Let's see what he says. Here's what I think. Cole Custer will drive the 34 car when Michael McDowell moves to the 71. Noah will drive the front row in the 36. Chase Briscoe would drive the 21 for the Wood Brothers. SVG in the 91, but SHR selling everything. You see most of these guys get a ride in 2024 somewhere. Well, that leaves me to ask you a question, Freddie. That leads me to ask you a question. I noticed who you left off that list.
I did too.
Josh Berry, you left him off that list. Does he not have a cup ride for 2025 in your estimation, in your opinion? Freddie, let us know in the comments. AJ, let us know. Anybody else, let us know. What's happening to Josh Berry? What's happening to Josh Berry at some point? Is Josh Berry not going to have a cup ride next year, in your opinion? He has started a fine momentum. He didn't have a great week yesterday, but it was a weird road course.
I mean, when like 25 of the 36, 37 cars are in some sort of incident yesterday, it's kind of hard to have a good day.
So Freddie says if Josh has a cup ride for next year, it'll be the new DI. So he's thinking that if the only way it would happen is if Dale Jr. were to buy a charter. That's an interesting thought. Freddie might be.
Yeah.
Freddie might be on something. We'll see. I don't think Dale Jr. buys one of those charters. I really don't. And I say this with all due respect. I don't say this as a knock. He's very particular about how he wants to get into the Cup Series and what he'll pay to do and all those sort of things. Because he could have been in the Cup Series in some form a long time ago, but he's very, very picky about what he might do. We'll see what happens. Freddie says, remember going around that strongly the Junior will buy a ride or two, because he kind of hinted at it one day. I think there could come a day. I just don't know if it's – I just don't know when, because Dale Junior kind of plays hokey pokey. All right, we'll keep chatting about it. Let's do some happy hour headlines. Probably the biggest news last week, I think it broke the day after this show, Kyle Larson finally got the waiver. There was a – for a while there, Ryan – the first few days, it was a foregone conclusion that Larson's getting the waiver. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts. And then as the more time went on, we all went, could he actually not get the waiver? Well, he ultimately got the waiver. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think they wanted to make him sweat a little bit about it, it seems like, because they did drug their feet a little bit. I mean, they took him to about middle of the week almost for NASCAR to get this waiver approved. I mean, I'm with you. You chose IndyCar Series over the Cup Series. I mean, your decisions, your choices have consequences, and maybe that's what it is. But obviously NASCAR was going to grant him this waiver. But like Logano said, it's just the waiver has kind of become a joke, and a few drivers kind of alluded to that. I mean, a lot of them, none of them really wanted to say anything to step on the toes of NASCAR and Kyle Larson and Rick Hendrick and say, hey, I don't think he needs it. I think Logano was probably one of the only few that actually kind of voiced his opinion saying, hey, I don't know if he should get it because, you know, he chose them. Nothing against his decision, but that was his decision. But he was gonna get the waiver regardless. I mean, he's one of the HMS boys. He's one of the golden boys of NASCAR, so I'm not shocked to see him get it. But, you know, the waivers kind of just go around. Like, you get a waiver, you get a waiver, you get a waiver. Everybody gets a waiver.
Yes, we've become Oprah. Freddie says it would have been cool if Larson did do both races. I agree. I agree with you. I wish he would have been able to do the double instead of it being the double dud. But I'm very honest about the fact I don't think he should have got a waiver. I expected him to. I'm not, you know, that's, you know, it isn't a shocking decision to me. But I don't think he should have got it.
Do you see the reasoning behind why he got it?
I never heard.
But they said the reasoning was that the effort that he made to get to Charlotte to run the 600 was good enough for them.
Well, and I think that's a fair point, and I would buy that if it was a one-time exception. But right. Like you, they've given him out everything every time. The stupidest way they get him out, in my estimation, I don't mean any disrespect to NASCAR or anybody else, but I mean, all can decide, let's call a spade, is when a driver does an action that you deem is suspendable at your own track, and then you give them the waiver in a couple of weeks.
Right.
You know, I think there should only be waivers, in my opinion, for if a driver gets hurt in a NASCAR-sanctioned event. That is my opinion.
I agree.
I could live with they got hurt racing another series. Let's be a fair guy. And, you know, I could kind of live with that.
But Chase Elliott getting hurt going skiing, like, that was your choice.
That was your choice, and that's tough. Yeah, I mean, that sucks, but, you know, rules are rules. Or, and then again, Chase Elliott last year with right hooking Denny Hamlin. I mean, there was no reason to give him another waiver after that because you're the one that lost your temper, and that should have consequences.
I agree.
And so I just think – so, if this was a one-time thing where, Larson made every effort in the world, I could kind of be a good sport and let that ride. But we have such a gray area, as Joey Logano mentioned, with the waiver. Either take the rule out or change the rule, but – let's stop ignoring our own rule book and using so much discretion, because if it's not really a rule, then why the hell is it there?
Right.
I just don't get it.
Speaking the facts.
I just don't get it. I think it makes the sport look bad. I think it makes us look like a joke because, damn it. You know, I I'm sure there's exceptions in every sport if I really studied hard. But it doesn't feel like any other major sport has so much make it up as you go along.
Do you feel like it was, it's more, he got the waiver more so because of who he is and the team he drives for? Let's say Corey LaJoie does this. Does Corey LaJoie get the waiver so fast? Or does NASCAR turn a blind eye?
I think he probably still gets the waiver, and I'll tell you why. I think it does help that he's Kyle Larson and Hendrick Motorsports. But I think Corey LaJoie would as well, because I think NASCAR wants people to do the double. They don't want everyone doing it, but I think they like the idea of they can – I mean, we've seen the promotion. Yeah, we've seen the promotion for the last 16 to 18 months. I don't think they want to lose the opportunity to ever do that again. I don't think they want everyone doing it. I don't think they even want someone doing it every year.
And that's what Logano alluded to as well. Yeah. He was like, you know, in the end of the day, he's going to get the waiver, and probably he could and should get it. But, I mean, if you don't give him the waiver, no one's going to want to sign up to do both again.
Oh, it would absolutely kill it in my estimation, unless you're just really wanting to do the double. And frankly, if you were to lose out on a playoff possibility in NASCAR, why would you ever do the double? Why wouldn't you just do the Indy 500? And I'll see you next week. Yeah.
Quick little question. When do we see someone from the Indy scene try and run the 600? I know Joseph Newgarner said after winning he would love to try and run the double. Is that something we see soon?
I think it's possible. Yeah, I think so. I think because you saw all the press. We were children when Tony Stewart, right, you know, last gave it a shot. So I can't speak to the history and the marketing, but it just felt like this was, I mean, treated as a huge deal for both sports. And I'm going to be frank. I think it really benefited IndyCar probably more than NASCAR. I think there's a good possibility here in the next year or two. I don't think 2025. I think 2025 could be a Larson do-over. But I bet by 26, 27, we see someone like Newgarden, especially if the captain is still around and heavily involved. Because I think in today's world, it's all about marketing. And that was well-marketed, well-promoted. It got a lot of eyes. It sold a lot of merch, I'm sure. I think we're closer than ever. I don't think it's next year, because I think that you have to start planning that right now.
Right.
And I think the only person in any position to probably do that is Kyle Larson and Hendrick and McLaren, because they have already got kind of the blueprint set from this year. But I think in the next 2 to 3 years, yeah, I think that we see a Joseph Newgarden or someone like him give it a go. All right. Todd Gilliland signed a multi-year deal to remain at Front Row Motorsports. So that's one car down. That's one car down, two to go if you are Front Row Motorsports. What do you make of it? Well-deserved extension, not a good call. Should they have waited? Should they have seen? Should they have, you know, made some feelers to other people? Todd Gilliland signs a multi-year extension with Front Row. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a good call for Front Row Motorsports. I mean, they lost their anchor with Michael McDowell, and being able to keep some consistency with Todd Gilliland, he's not running bad. I mean, he's sitting here 21st in the standings right now, just a few points behind, about 6 points behind his teammate Michael McDowell. So, I mean, he's having solid finishes. I think he had a top 10 yesterday, and he led some laps back at Atlanta and Daytona. So, I mean, I think we're seeing Todd Gilliland grow into his own. I think another year or so, a couple years under Front Row Motorsports, who's now partnered with Penske and getting some help from that branch right there. I mean, I think we've seen the results get better, and I think he could have a better season than he's having right now had the Fords not started out so slow. So, I mean, we could be seeing a shift where Todd Gilliland's starting to run a little bit better. So, I like the move. I think you don't want to have to completely start over fresh. So, to be able to have some sort of stability in that room, it goes a long way. You don't want to keep flipping and flopping with a whole new team every time. So I like the move.
I agree. I agree. And it's out of character for Front Row. Usually they sign guys to one-year deals around November. November, December. They're very late, right, always, for some reason. That's the way they do business.
Bob, is it a shot toward McDowell?
Say it again now.
Is this like a shot thrown to Michael McDowell for not signing his?
I think they're parting on good terms. I really do. I think that my guess would be Todd is much younger and has, no disrespect to Michael McDowell, but again, much younger, therefore much more upside. they probably didn't want to commit beyond a year-to-year basis to Michael McDowell. I mean, just realistically, because, I mean, how much longer will Michael McDowell do this? He is a grizzled vet. Now, he hasn't pointed to any retirement plans, but you've probably...
And he asked for the longevity contract, obviously, with the way he talked about it.
Sure.
With his reasoning for signing the new one.
But maybe they thought, we've kind of plateaued here. We've done all we can do, both sides. And I think it's probably just a, hey, thanks. Thanks for getting us started. Because, I mean, honestly, he has. He's gotten them started on a solid platform, couple of wins. I agree, Freddie. I think Michael is living on good terms with Front Row. I think Michael McDowell would leave on good terms with anybody because Michael McDowell is a
very likable guy,
very agreeable, likable fellow. I mean, he is. He's
you can tell too. Like they're obviously leaving on good terms. The cars are still running well. McDowell's still having good cars. I mean, he finished second this past weekend at Sonoma. This is nowhere near what we saw with Tyler Reddick and RCR.
Yeah, where it was clear. It was clear that for Tyler Reddick and RCR, it was get out and get out now. Yeah, right. Freddie, he's got him a couple wins. Again, I think he's got them a solid base as a program, and I think that probably, and I'm just speculating. We're not privy to the conversation, of course, but my guess would be they both have probably decided, look, I think we've done all we can do together, and we can kind of keep going, but they probably don't know how much new ground they can cover, if that makes sense.
Right.
So interesting to think about. Now, good for Todd. I think they do. Like you said, I think you hit all the bullet points. You need stability, especially because you're going to have two other new drivers coming in, whoever that may be. It could be Noah Gregson, could be Josh Berry, could be Chase Briscoe, could be Riley Herbst, could be Cole Custer, could be Eric Jones. I have no idea who it's going to be, but it's going to be somebody, two somebodies. So I do. I think it's good to have a little stability and somebody to kind of lean on for data. Speaking of Briscoe and Eric Jones, they are both rumored candidates of the 19 if. The key word is if here. That's a big, big question. If MTJ decides this is last year, Joe Gibbs it's become pretty clear that Joe Gibbs is anxiously awaiting a decision from MTJ. You know, are you coming back? Are you not? Because there's a lot of free agents on the board. So, Ryan, talk to me. Do you think this is Martin Truex's last year? Do you think he's going to retire? And if so, do you think they go Briscoe? Do you think they go Jones? Do you think they surprise somebody and go somebody else? What's your take?
I don't think this is going to be his final year. I know he keeps flirting with the possibility over the last like two seasons or so. I can't say I'll be shocked if it is because of the way we've talked about it more and more over the years. So if he does decide to retire, I won't be shocked, but I am leaning towards he'll be back in the 19 car next year. He's been competitive the last 2 years. He had that down year back in, 2022? He had a down year, and it wasn't up to his standards, but he rebounded last year, and he's having a solid run this year, too. I mean, he's, second in the points as we sit right now, and he'd probably be the points leader had he not ran out of fuel yesterday because he lost a lot of points by that happening. So, I mean, I think with the runs he's getting right now, he's not going to hang it up just yet. But if he were, I know it might hurt you a little bit seeing that Jones boy leave. But I think that kind of just makes sense, but it doesn't make sense, if that makes sense at all. Because Jones seems like he really fits the 43 car really well. But they are now part of Toyota. So it makes it make a little bit more sense since now he's back on that side of the camp. You can just plug him back in kind of like he never even left when he drove the 20 car. Now he's going to come back and drive the 19. I think if anybody makes sense, it would be Jones. So that's where I'm leaning. But I think Truex is back in the
19. He's a Toyota guy. He's an alumni of Gibbs. Freddie says he wouldn't be surprised if Truex wins to drive for 23-11. Look, you never say never in this sport, but I think when Truex is done with Gibbs, I think he's done.
I agree.
Again, never say never. Weird things happen. Eric Almirola is like retired twice and now is still technically not fully retired. We all know Mark Martin, who is essentially this sports Brett Favre. In terms of, I'm going to give it one more go. Matter of fact, he's going to race the IROC reboot next month. So Mark Martin's still not fully retired. I think when Truex goes, I think he's done. I think he's going to go fishing and hang out on a boat, and maybe we'll see him run the occasional truck start for fun. I know he didn't rule that out at Charlotte when he met with some media. And so we'll see what happens. Martin Martin, in my mind, is the greatest number one cup championship. I think I'd probably agree with that. I think I'd probably agree with that. I mean, because I mean, he's got like 40 wins. That's pretty. That's a damn good career. And he was.
He never won that. He never got the 500. And he was so close.
Yeah. That what was that? 2007.
When he had it, Harvick stole it. Harvick.
Oh man.
That was.
I remember watching that with my father. It was an emotional evening. It was an emotional evening. All right. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know. I'm inclined to believe that Truex retires at the end of the year. I'm 50-50, but I'm like leaning 51 retires, 49 stays.
I think it's going to really come down to the run that he makes when it comes to the playoffs. Right now he's having a very solid regular season.
Very good.
When it comes to those playoffs, if you get that close, you're going to want to know, can I get it done next year?
Yeah, it's just, do you push it and push it until you've stayed 1 year too many? And right. Even if that's just one bad year, that puts a sour taste in your mouth. Freddie says it was good for him because he's a Harvick guy. Well, my father was a diehard Mark Martin fan, and it was an emotional evening in this house. I can promise
you. I really wanted Martin to get that one.
So I can promise you that. I do. I think if Truex retires, I think Jones is a candidate. Because similar to Michael McDowell, you wonder if Legacy Motor Club and Eric Jones have kind of reached the point of we've done all we can do for each other. And I love Eric Jones, and I hope he's in the 43 for the remainder of his career. But, you know, I haven't seen as much progress this year as I would have liked. Yeah. I didn't expect to go win races this year, except maybe one or two. But I've been surprised at the still titanic struggle.
I expected a much better year from your guys this year going to Toyota. I thought the speed would definitely be there.
So just interesting to think about. We'll see what happens. But no, I think Jones is a natural fit. Frankly, I mean, Briscoe would be a good fit too. That's a good steal from Ford if that happens. And Gibbs can pretty much get anybody he wants to drive a premier ride. So,
oh, yeah.
So still his reasons could be strong. All right. Owners don't like the most recent charter proposal. Another charter proposal's come out. There's rumors they think it's the worst yet. This charter situation is frustrating. I
haven't heard the new proposal yet.
Oh, the France family can buy in and buy charters now. That would be the proposal. They would limit them down to 3 charters a team. Now NASCAR's worried. NASCAR owners are worried that they're not a solid front anymore because Front Row's making moves. It's just a fiasco. It's just an absolute fiasco. Will we get a deal done eventually, Ryan?
It's definitely going to be a scrappy thing between them and NASCAR here. So I think eventually cooler heads are going to have to prevail at some point. And they're going to have to get a deal done. I think it could drag its feet for a while, but I think by the end of the season, we'll have something in place.
I think you kind of just have to. And for the record, I don't think that the France family should be allowed to buy in and buy charters.
Right.
You know, if they can, whatever. Like, I'm not going to, like, boycott the sport. I just think it's a conflict of interest. And so if you're going to buy a charter, I hope it's from Legacy. But I think that's a major conflict of interest. I think it doesn't look good for our sport. You know, if it helps get a deal done, fine, I'll take it. But I think it reeks of the potential for nepotism. So I hope that doesn't come to pass. Finally, Daniel Suarez says he expects to sign an extension with Trackhouse. He's explicitly said he doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't care if it's Gibbs or Hendrick or anything like that. He does not want to leave Trackhouse. Are you surprised by this? And notice I said expects to. Didn't say he had. Are you surprised by this? Will he sign an extension? Should he sign an extension? What's your thoughts?
I'm not surprised by this. I think Suarez is having a solid run at Trackhouse. Trackhouse just seems like a fun team to race for as well. Like, I mean, they really just care more about trophy chasing, and they'll say that, like, hey, we're out there to get trophies too, so we got to do what we got to do. So, I mean, Suarez has the win. The rest of the results kind of haven't been there for him this season, but I think he's having the most success of his career at Trackhouse. So, as long as Trackhouse wants him, I don't see why Suarez would want to leave either.
Again, that's where this could be one of the most interesting. We say this every year now, because you know, you and I have done several shows together, and this continues to be another year where it might be the most interesting silly season ever. Stuart Haas is unfortunately shutting down. That puts four plus drivers out there. The Wood brothers might be looking for a new driver. There's rumors about Eric Jones. There's just so much availability right now. I don't know. I don't know if that one win in Atlanta, and I mean, a win's a win. W's a W. But I don't know if that one win should guarantee a contract extension, because the results difference, in my opinion, between Chastain and Suarez, pretty wide. It's a pretty wide gap.
Right.
It's a pretty wide gap, and so that's concerning to me. But that's just my take. What's your take, Freddie? What's your take, AJ? What's your take, anyone else in the comments? Should Daniel Suarez resign in for Trackhouse? Should Trackhouse want him? Should they look at the multitude of other options? Let us know in the comments down below. All right. What do you think, Bailey?
So Daniel Suarez should go.
All right. Not a Suarez fan. All right. All right, so we got to keep moving it along. So that means it's time for another game of Racing Refresh Picks. All right, Peggy, come on in here and update the score for us and see where we're standing. Ryan, we're just going to let you make your own pick and pick a winner of anything you want to pick, just because, well, we're flying by the seat of our pants this evening. That's right. Why. So, Peggy, update us on the score and how last week went, and then we'll let Ryan make a pick on who he thinks might get it done at Iowa.
So, last week I won. I picked Daniel Suarez, and he finished 14th, which you wouldn't think would be the winner, but all of your guys' picks were just that bad.
Ouch.
No, I didn't do too bad with Zane Smith, all things considered.
Zane Smith finished like 16th or 17th. So I'll give you that.
I didn't do too bad. So you go ahead and keep talking. Talk your ish.
You did finish second. If you give me 1 second, I'll show you the updated score, because I had the updated score written down and realized it was from 2 weeks ago. So
nice. Wow.
Here it is.
All right. Updated score. Colin still brings up the reader at 31. I've got 37. Adam's got 34. And Peggy leads us at 39. So, well, the good news is Race and Refresh Happy Hour is getting power coupled. Put her there. Come on. Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting power coupled. All right. So what's the picking order this week? Ryan.
Yes, we will let Ryan go first.
So I'm picking an Iowa winner for a cup.
Yeah, anybody you want.
You know who I have to go with. It's what, NASCAR's first time going there? He owns the sport when it comes to going somewhere for a first time. The guy right behind me, the 22. If it's not this weekend, I give up. You heard it. 22, back in victory lane this weekend. Breaks that 46-47 race winless streak.
Well, you're all-star race winner. You think he's going to get a points race. All right. Peggy, who's next?
Next is Adam. Adam picked Ryan Preece.
You got to take him at some point.
After Adam, it was Colin, and Colin picked Chase Briscoe.
It's not a bad pick.
Riding with the Fords.
And now it is your turn, Logan.
Well, she said that with some stank on it. Boy, you know how it is. You know how it is, Ryan. Pray for me. All right. Who am I going to take this week in Iowa? This is a new frontier, if you will. You know, we've never done this before. So I'll take... give me... I don't think I've taken this individual. I'll take Daniel Suarez.
All right. And I'm going to take... I shouldn't say that. I'll take Ty Gibbs.
Okay. You'll take Ty Gibbs. So, all right. So, with that, we'll have Adam update us next week. Ryan thinks Joey Logano is going to get it done in Victory Lane.
Hey,
what's up, not bud?
If there's ever a weekend to do it, it's next weekend.
I suppose that's possible. Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Just a heads up. The trucks are off this weekend. It's a pretty light racing schedule. Yeah. Luckily, there's still plenty of NASCAR. Trucks didn't come back till Nashville, Ryan.
Somewhere around that ballpark.
Last weekend in the month. All right. So, look, we've played Racing Refresh Picks, and it's time to bring home another great episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. But it can't end without a little bit of closing time. All right, Ryan, closing time is where you have the floor to say anything you damn well please, usually racing related, but sometimes not. So, producer Peggy, final words.
Oh, you want me to go first?
You want Ryan to go first? That's all right.
I'll go first.
Sure, go first.
But I'm angry.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This week on the scanner, Martin Truex Jr. decided he would say the R slur, even though he's a grown man. And not a 12-year-old boy. Kyle Busch has done this. Haley Deegan did this. And I just want to remind everyone that the use of the R slur is very offensive and very harmful. It's historically used to demean individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Using the word perpetrates negative stereotypes. It fosters discrimination. It devalues the dignity of people with disabilities. And it is very crucial to promote respectful and inclusive language to create a society that honors everyone's humanity and contributions. And for Martin to choose a word that downright hurts people, and I've seen people on Twitter or X or whatever it's called be like, well, I'm autistic and I'm okay with that word. So you should be okay with that word too. Well, I'm autistic too. And I'm not okay with that word. And I don't consider myself to be that word. I don't consider other autistic people to be that word either. I don't consider anybody to be that word. And so for him and Kyle Busch and Haley Deegan, and the millions of other people in this world that use that word every single day, all willy-nilly, because they can't think of a better word to use, is disgusting and ignorant and just vile. And it makes my blood boil. And I'm not trying to cancel Martin. I don't believe in cancel culture, but he owes a sincere apology, which Haley Deegan did not give. Her apology was BS. And most importantly, he needs to change his ways and not say it anymore. I've also heard, well, there's worse words in the world. Like, maybe we should, like, eliminate those instead. Like, you know, Kyle Larson said the N-word. So, why don't we stop those words first? How about we just not say any of them? Is it that hard? And rant.
Well, thanks for coming to the Producer Peggy TED Talk. No, I understand that that's a topic you are very passionate about, and I totally respect that. Freddie's got a comment. Freddie says, we all say things and do things we shouldn't. It's part of life, but I respect what you said here today, Peggy. But you guys didn't know. I got autism myself. High-functioning autism is what I got. And he said, the crap isn't easy to deal with, but we can all use better words. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. But you see, that's why I didn't want you to have the final words, because we're going to end this on a more, hopefully, chipper note. Ryan, final words.
Yeah, I'm going to try and be a little bit more chipper. But, yeah, 22 back in victory lane this weekend. I'm really hoping for it. I'm going to get my hopes up again. We'll see if they get crushed. And by the end of the day, hopefully I'm not texting Logan saying I'm done with the season. But there's a very good chance that I will be sending that. But I was a little upset, too. I was at the same place our producer Peggy was at on Friday night. She didn't say hi.
You were?
I saw her right there by the pizza stand. She didn't say hi.
Producer Peggy caught at the pizza stand.
Well, why didn't you say hi? I didn't even see you.
I walked right in front of her. And I thought, I was like, I think that was her. But I was like, I don't know. And then I text Loganity there, and he's like, yep, she's there. And I was like, dang, I thought that
was. We're at the Pink Pony Club. Yo, we're doing that thing there.
Couldn't say hi, but you know, there's always next time.
That's you left him on scene there at the pizza stand. That's wild.
I didn't even get any pizza.
No, we just kind of crossed paths right there.
Man, you didn't say hello.
I didn't see it.
Wow, that's wild. I mean, this man will buy you dinner, and he's bought me a few, and here you are. All right. Well, it's been another lovely episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Yes, we should be more mindful of the language we use. And no, we should not, try to take a pitchfork to Martin Truex Jr. either. Hopefully, he learns from this. And hopefully, he gets better. And hopefully, everybody gets better, because that's what life's all about. It's about learning, growing, and getting better. So with that, we got Iowa this weekend, kind of a new frontier for the Cup Series. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking all about it next Monday with a cast and crew. Ryan, want to thank you for stepping up and pinch hitting tonight, absolutely, brother.
Really
enjoyed it. Hope you'll come back again. Will you come back again sometime?
Yeah, whenever you need me, just let me know. It was fun. It was nice to be able to talk NASCAR again and not just in the comment section.
Well, hey, come on in there. Come on. You never know. We might need you more often. All right. So with that, Freddie, thank you for commenting so much, brother. We love you. We appreciate your support. It means the world, genuinely. AJ, thanks for chiming in. Everybody else, where were you? Come on now. Adam's on his way back from Sonoma, so we'll get his take on Sonoma next week. He was playing media member, had plenty of – even got to talk to the king, doggone it. So
yeah,
that's pretty darn cool. Anywho, with that, Ryan, you'll remember this. Until next time, hope you're well, hope you're happy, hope you're smiling. Let's all be a little kind to each other. You never know what someone's going through. And until next week, we'll see you at the next track.